Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, broadcasting to you today, again, live from Salem, Orlando. We're glad to be here in Central Florida, and there is plenty for us to talk about, especially given what's in the news. And in the news, one of the things that caught my eye is the criticism coming from feminists about Michelle Obama. Now, on January the 20th, the president-elect will take the oath of office, and he will enter his constitutional duties. But you will at the same time see Michelle Obama become the First Lady of the United States. It's not a constitutional office, but in our culture it's become a powerfully influential post. Obviously, there's a lot of interest in the first family. And in this case, we have a young father, young mother, and two young children. And Michelle Obama has made very clear that she sees her primary role. In fact, she's rather fanatical about expressing this. Her central role is going to be as the mother to those two daughters and as the wife to the president. And so you've got feminists now saying, look, she's wasting that Harvard and Princeton education. She is wasting her opportunity to set a new standard for first ladies. She is setting a bad example. Now, on this program a couple of years ago, we looked at Linda Hirschman's book when she suggested that women who stay at home taking care of children when they could be in professional places of influence are, and this was her term, letting down the team. And so now you've got some on the liberal left, feminists in particular, who are saying that Michelle Obama, of all things, is letting down the team. And it is fodder for our conversation today. This is just the kind of thing we need to talk about, because as we are about the task of enlightened and intelligent Christian conversation, we need to go at these issues and say, look, here is a picture of what happens when a society, and not whole scale, but some elements within the society decide that they are going to denormalize the normal. And in this case, a mom being a mom is just a scandal. A woman of Michelle Obama's intelligence and education choosing to be a stay-at-home mom is just letting down the team. We're going to be talking about that today on the Albert Mohler Program. I'd love to hear from you. To join us, just give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. It ought to be a fascinating conversation. Let me just ask you this. Do you think Michelle Obama's letting down the team, or do you think she's setting a good example? I think that's a key question, and it's a worldview question. It's not just a personal preference, do you like pink better than blue? It's an objective question when it comes down to whether it's right or wrong that she would make this kind of a choice. And there are certainly many different subjective takes on it, and there are an awful lot of you out there to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. There are so many other things to talk about in the news. The New York Times and USA Today, other major media out today with a study from the National Institutes of Health in cooperation with a nonprofit advocacy group known as Common Sense Media. They are reporting, now get this, after reviewing 173 scientific studies, that too much media exposure is not good for children and teenagers. Now, that's after 173 studies. Dr. Ezekiel J. Emanuel is chairman of the bioethics department at the National Institutes for Health. By the way, he is the brother of Rahm Emanuel, who is the chief of staff designee in the Obama administration. He says that couch potato does, unfortunately, sum it up pretty well. He goes on to suggest that what you're looking at here is a picture of children who are spending far too much time in front of the television, and now, of course, with the computer as well. USA Today actually does a very good job of summarizing the data. Here's just one statistic that certainly ought to have your attention. I'm reading here from USA Today's article in today's edition. It says this: the average child spends nearly 45 hours a week immersed in media. Now, I want you to think with me about a week. 7 days, 24 hours each. 45 hours is a huge segment of any individual's time. 45 hours in terms of immersion in the media. Now, get this, that compares to 30 hours spent in school. So that's about a 50% bonus over school time, just in terms of media time. It vastly outstrips what is reported as time with parents. And so what you have here is a child spending far more time with digital media than with a teacher or a parent. And this is really very dangerous stuff when you start looking not only at the amount of time, but at the content. I found one thing very interesting in here. Michael Brody, a child psychiatrist at the University of Maryland, said this, that children today have far greater exposure to online pornography and internet hate sites, the internet sites being particularly out of view of parents. He says this is the issue. He says parents used to be able to watch what their children were watching on television because most homes simply had one set, maybe two sets. The children were there with the parents, and if something inappropriate came on the screen, the parent could turn the channel. But when it comes to what is now the very individualistically immersed media exposure that you have with these kids, parents often have no idea what their children are listening to, watching the games they're playing, and all the rest. Here's one you'll find interesting. Victor Strasburger, a pediatrics professor at the University of New Mexico, he evidently was involved in some of the aspects of this, even though not the study himself, but when he was quoted cited by USA Today, he says he took away his 15-year-old daughter's cell phone when he caught her text messaging at Thanksgiving dinner. Now, that's contemporary, just last week. But, you know, how many teenagers in America were rushing through the Thanksgiving meal in order to get back to their media immersion, their text messaging, and all the rest? That's a very interesting and troubling question. USA Today, by the way, citing the study, suggests five things that parents could do. Number one, limit screen time to 1 to 2 hours a day. I have to say, I think that's an awful lot if it's just unsupervised. Secondly, learn about new media such as text messaging or social networking websites and how your children are using them. Now, that goes back to something I hit on this program time and time again. If you have minor children and they have a Facebook or a MySpace account, you should have the password and you should be going there regularly. It may be a shock to your system, but you need to do it. That's a part of your parental responsibility. Third, don't rely on the ratings for video games. Instead, watch or play the games yourself. Well, good luck on that one. Good luck on the playing part anyway. You certainly should be looking at the actual content of these games. Fourth, don't allow children to have computers, TVs, or other media in their bedrooms. Bingo, that is a big one. We've come back to this issue time and time again. That is dangerous on so many fronts. And lastly, they say set limits on how a child may use a new purchase, such as an iPod, from the beginning. Now, just interesting stuff here. This is in today's USA Today, also a very much larger article found at the New York Times. We'll be looking at this study, and we're going to come back to this, if not this week, then the next, to talk about it on a full program. Because when you start thinking about what this really means, it's not something that's related to children who may be in another place, to teenagers of some other family. This is the stuff that affects us all. Because to be an American, to be an American child, to be an American teenager in the 21st century is to be immersed in media. Because the media are simply all around us. And now you have not only radio and television, you've got the internet, the proliferation of everything that comes down to cell phones and video games and all the rest. And even when you have parents who say, I really limit the media exposure, you know, folks, if we actually document what's going on in terms of our own use and the use of the media by our children, I think we will probably all be surprised. By the way, the British Library is out with a study in the Financial Times today indicating that by the year 2020, the majority of published research will be published in digital form only. Now, I don't know if you're noticing this, but I've been on several university campuses lately. You go in the library, and the library has more room than it used to have. And the reason for that is simple. A lot of printed media, they are simply disappearing. The book is not disappearing, but it's taking on a different role. The book is going to be for permanently accessible data you need to hold in your hands. But digital information is going to be the wave of the future. It already is in terms of medical, architectural, legal, dental kinds of research, the kinds of professional journals that are very common across this country. Now it turns out that the majority, vast majority of research will be published in digital form only. And it says here that the British Library forecasts that by 2020. If anything, my guess is it will happen far sooner than that. The struggle over same-sex marriage in this country is a continuing part of the conversation, necessarily so. We've got court cases pending now in Iowa as well as in California. The letters to the editor section of today's edition of the Wall Street Journal has three very interesting articles, letters in this case, all promoting same-sex marriage. One is written by a man by the name of Larry Roth, running from Kansas City, Missouri. This is what he has to say. I want you to listen carefully. He says, if those who oppose gay marriage want to make the issue go away, they need to come up with ways to allow everyone the same benefits, and this should include single people as well as gay couples. Social Security could be reformed to allow unmarried people to designate a significant other or even a relative to receive their survivor's benefits. An alternative approach would be to repeal the special status now afforded married couples. As long as everyone is equal, no one would feel cheated. Now, see, that's really interesting because that gets back to a point we've made over and over again on this program. The agenda behind same-sex marriage is in part, perhaps in the main, the normalization of homosexuality. But the subtext behind this is the dethroning of marriage as a privileged relationship in the culture. Rarely is that argument made so clearly as, in this case, Larry Roth makes it in the pages of the Wall Street Journal. But it is educational and illuminating to see it. Rarely do we see it with this kind of clarity. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Michelle Obama, the controversy coming from the cultural left, suggesting that she's letting down the team, the feminist team, that is, by choosing to be a very public stay-at-home mom. Call me and tell me what you think at 877-893-8255, and we'll be right back with your calls.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, it has not been too long since we have looked at the arguments of Linda Hirschman. She wrote a book some time ago in which she made the argument that women who choose to be stay-at-home moms are, quote, letting down the team. They're letting down the feminist team, the team of working women, by suggesting that staying at home is a legitimate option. Linda Hirschman says it's not a legitimate option. In fact, in very condescending language, she says that it's simply demeaning to take care of another human being, even a little human being, and anyone who does that is in a servant, subservient role, and that's not where any intelligent woman belongs. She makes that statement very clearly. No intelligent, educated woman belongs at home changing diapers. And now we have a First Lady of the United States who has two daughters who are past the diaper stage, but they're very much in the childhood stage. And we have these two daughters, 10 and 7, delightful little girls. And we have a First Lady who has said very publicly that she now intends, when her husband takes office on January the 20th, and she becomes the culturally designated First Lady, that she is going to give her first attention to being what she calls a mom-in-chief. Ruth Marcus, writing in the Washington Post in this case, says that that simply isn't a good model. Speaking of what Michelle Obama has said about the fact she's going to be the mom-in-chief, Ruth Marcus writes, did she have to say it out loud quite so explicitly? Is it really good for the team here being working women, to have the mommy stamp so firmly imprinted on her identity? And most of all, what does it say about the condition of modern women that Obama, that is Michelle Obama, catapulted by her husband's election to the ranks of the most prominent, sounded so strangely retro? That is strange. That you would have this kind of backlash. But maybe it's not. Maybe this is just another illustration to us of the fact that feminism has a very limited understanding of what women could and should do. And it's the feminists, I'm going to suggest, who are missing the boat here. I think most Americans are going to respect Michelle Obama when she says, and I'm quoting her here from Ebony Magazine, my first job, in all honesty, is going to continue to be mom-in-chief, making sure that in this transition, which will be even more of a transition for the girls, that they are settled and that they know they will continue to be the center of our universe, end quote. I find that sweet. I find that reassuring. I have had, now have, and in all likelihood will have significant policy differences with Michelle Obama and with her husband. But I got to tell you, I think she's dead right on this one. And not only that, I think she is courageously setting a very good example. There are people who say this is merely political posturing. My response to that is maybe. If so, we'll find out. But you don't have to say as much as she has been saying in order to make the point for politics. She's making another point, and it's a point I think Americans would do well to ponder. She is saying that raising her children is the most important thing she could possibly do. And in this case, she also speaks very, very sweetly of being the wife to her husband, who will be the President of the United States. Let's listen to Michelle Obama as she is interviewed by Barbara Walters just in recent days.
I have never been the kind of person who's defined myself by a career or a job. I just never have. People used to ask me that during the course of the campaign. Is it hard for you to have stepped off the track and devoted your life to his dream? But the truth is that I believe in this man as our president and his vision for the country. And if that meant, you know, stepping away from my particular job for a year and a half or for 4 or for 8 years, if you do what you're supposed to do,
right,
then, you know, that's a small sacrifice to make.
And it's enough to keep you fulfilled?
oh, well, I've got these great kids, too. I mean, and the truth is, you know, and Barack knows this about me, I love kids, and I love my kids. And this isn't to say that anyone who's working doesn't, but I enjoy the balance of having a job and having a set of projects and being able to have time to make sure that I'm in the girls' lives and making sure that we have time as a family. I mean, that's a full plate.
You know, that's a full plate indeed, and every mom I know could certainly give testimony to the fact that it is a full plate and more. I take this very personally because I know I could not do what I do if not for my wife. If Mary were not doing what she does every single day, being devoted as wife and mother, our entire civilization that I know, my personal civilization of house and home and all the rest, would simply fall apart. But she gives herself to that. And when I hear Michelle Obama speak this way, I feel a kind of indebtedness to my own wife that I know Barack Obama must feel to her. And I understand that these children are going to be the primary beneficiaries of her devoted service to them. I think she's setting a very good example. I wrote an article about this, published at albertmuller.com this morning. It's asking the question, is Michelle Obama letting down the team? I think it's a fascinating question. You have articles such as the one by Rebecca Traister, found at salon.com. She writes about the mommification of Michelle Obama. And what's really driving some of these feminists crazy is that here's a woman who has a Princeton undergraduate degree, a Harvard Law School degree. She served as a lawyer in one of Chicago's most prominent firms, was making a salary near $300,000 as a vice president of the University of Chicago Hospital System, and now she's given all that up in order to be not so much First Lady of the United States, but Mom-in-Chief. To join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Is Michelle Obama letting down the team, or is she setting a very courageous and noble example? I want to hear from you. Let's go to State College, Pennsylvania. Melissa's on the line. What do you think, Melissa?
I don't think she's letting down the team at all. I think that it's really a shame that feminists would attack her for that when their whole stance is for women being able to choose, and that's her choice to bring up the future of the United States.
And, Melissa, you're obviously an educated woman yourself, and perhaps you're right now about the task of getting an education there. State College is where Penn State University is. When you see the example of Michelle Obama, does that encourage you or discourage you?
I think it's really encouraging, especially for our entire nation, where nowadays it's like, you know, just the thing to take your kid to daycare, but she actually wants to raise her children, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I really appreciate your call, Melissa. It's great to hear from you. By the way, you hit a very significant point when you say that feminism is all about choice. Well, you know, feminism is partly about choice, which may be better said that some feminists are about choice. Linda Hirschman, who wrote the book that I cited earlier, she also wrote an article in the American Prospect. She made an infamous series of statements in an interview about 2 years ago on Good Morning America. She came out and said that choice feminism, which is exactly what you're talking about, Melissa, she says that choice feminism is a disaster because it suggests that the choice to stay at home is a legitimate choice, which she says it's not. So it's interesting you make the point because, frankly, you made it extremely well. If feminism was about choice, then they'd be celebrating this. But insofar as it's about only making the choice that a feminist would find one to approve, well, Michelle Obama finds herself facing pretty scathing criticism. And, you know, I think it's one thing to find it at a website like salon.com. It's pretty much out there on the cultural left. You know, many of us take a look at it simply because it's where you'll find liberals making their most, perhaps, unvarnished and undiluted arguments. But in the Washington Post, that's a little something different. When Ruth Marcus writes her article in the Washington Post, and she actually uses the letting down the team language, I got to tell you, that really tells us something. To join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We've got a lot of folks that want to join the conversation. We're going to get to those calls as soon as we come back from this break. You know, if you have a chance, go and look at that article. Is Michelle Obama letting down the team? You'll find it at Albert Mohler. That's MOHLER.com. And you'll find other materials there as well. You can also go from that article to a couple of other articles in which you can follow the links and see how some of this argument is unfolding on the World Wide Web. It is fascinating. You know, every once in a while, one of the most interesting things we can do is listen to a debate that is taking place on the other side of perhaps a cultural divide. And that's what we really see here. And it's a very illuminating debate. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're discussing what one journalist has called the mummification of Michelle Obama. This very interesting twist in the story of this presidential transition, as the new first lady, soon to be first lady, has made it very clear she intends to be mom in chief. And there are feminists who are simply outraged, discussing the fact that she's letting down the team, making the accusation that she is squandering, if not forfeiting, an opportunity here in order to set an example. But as anyone who actually would stop and just pay a little attention would recognize, there are two little girls, ages 10 and 7. Those Obama girls are going to need every bit of attention that they can get. Can you imagine what it would be to be in a transition in which all of a sudden your father becomes president of the United States? You move into the White House. They're going to need that, Mom. And by the way, I think she's going to find that her hands are full. Let's listen to the second clip from the Barbara Walters special last week with Michelle Obama.
I don't view myself as being in a position where I'm twiddling my thumbs and wondering, well, how am I going to get through the day? I've never experienced that in my life.
No, and my guess is most moms, I know my mom growing up, my wife, as I watch her, there just isn't a whole lot of time to twiddle thumbs. That's absolutely for sure. And there's going to be a lot of attention devoted to this choice. And I think we need to give some advance attention right here. The big question is Michelle Obama letting down the team, or is she setting a good example? I've put my convictions down in print. You'll find it at albertmohler.com, and I want to hear from you. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Cape Coral, Florida. Jason's listening on XM170. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Mr. Mohler. My wife and I have seven boys, ranging from 18 years of age to nearly two. And I will have to say my wife has been home for all 18 of those years, and that is a very difficult job. And she told me early on, she said, you know, God has placed you on this earth to do things. She said, God put me here to be a mother. And I could make the argument that instead of Michelle Obama letting the team down by not going to work, I could make the argument that she would let the team down if she did go to work and not take care of her kids. I could not trade my wife because I wouldn't be able to handle it. It's a special, very special job, and it's not to be taken lightly. And I think the women who, belittle women for staying home, I think it's sad because it's a very purposeful life, and it makes a huge difference.
Jason, I really appreciate your call. Let me tell you right now, I am moved to think of praying for your wife. And I think of a mom with seven boys. As I understood it, starting 18, going down to one who's a baby toddler, that's an amazing thing. And I really appreciate your call. I appreciate hearing from another husband who says, look, I honor my wife for this. And we don't do this enough. I mean, we say a lot of the right things, but let's face it. I will say it again. I could not do what I do if my wife did not so devotedly do what she does. I would not be able to do this. I wouldn't know where I'm supposed to go. I wouldn't know where anything is. I wouldn't be fed. And that's just me, as if I'm one more dependent for her care. What about two kids? And it doesn't end when they go off to college. It doesn't end when they get to high school. It really continues. But just imagine a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they will find themselves at home in the White House starting on January the 20th. And I'm very thankful for the example that Michelle Obama's setting. There's some who are saying it's just politics. Well, who knows if it's just politics? I can't read hearts, but I can tell you this. If it was just politics, she wouldn't need to say all this. She's bringing on opposition that she could have avoided by saying such things as, I'm going to do this just for now and we'll see how it works. Or I really wish I could be both an attorney and hospital administrator and all that, but it's just not politically feasible. She doesn't say that. She makes a very clear and endearing point about planning to be mom. Let's go to Eileen calling from Belafonte, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Eileen.
Hi, Mr. Mohler. This is Eileen. I think that Michelle Obama's decision is a good one. I think the most important thing a woman can do is be a mom and a wife and take care of her kids. And I find it interesting that they're criticizing Michelle Obama for saying that she will stay at home with her children when they were criticizing Sarah Palin when she was running because she wasn't staying at home. What do they really want?
You know, that reminds me of a very interesting question that a mom will awkwardly ask a child. What is it that you really want? Sometimes the child doesn't know. And in this case, I think, Eileen, you make a very good point. A lot of these feminists, well, I would call them childish, but that's just not a strong enough word. They do know, I think, what they want. They want everyone to follow their own dictate. They're not really about freedom and choice. We'll be right back to continue this conversation on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is, to me, a very fascinating discussion because it puts all the big issues down on the table. What are we made for? What are human beings here for? What kind of success should we look for? You know, for instance, and this is another program, we're going to be talking about this next week on this program. We've got people, young people in particular, making very hard college decisions. And I'm getting emails from parents saying, I don't know what to do. We're not going to be able to afford to send our child to the college of his or her first choice. Well, let me just tell you, when it comes down to college education, it really doesn't matter over the process of, and course of a life so much where you went to school. It matters what you do. And so the idea that that you just have to do this in order to get ahead, that success in life means you have to go to this college or university. If you don't get in there, your life is ruined. That's simply ridiculous. The idea that you have to have some kind of vast professional expertise and influence and success in order to be happy, that's what's behind a lot of this feminist outrage at Michelle Obama. They're saying, how could you throw all that away? It just defies everything that is central to the feminist logic. She has tied herself. I mean, the feminist logic, remember Gloria Steinem once said, you know, that a woman doesn't need a man any more than a fish needs a bicycle. And here you have Michelle Obama, who's tying herself to Barack Obama in a very clear and devoted way, setting, I think, a very wholesome example, and now making the decision to be mom in chief. And there are people who say she's missing her opportunity in life. You know, I think she thinks she's found her opportunity in life. Is she letting down the team? That's the question. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Aztec, New Mexico. Dorothy's listening. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Hi, yes. No, she is not letting down the team. If anything, she is doing what is right and good. I was raised in the generation of I can bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan, and I believed in the lie that I could have it all. And unfortunately, I worked for about 7 years after my first child and then decided to stay home when I had the second one. I have been home 14 years. I love it. There are tough days, but I have no regrets. Someone could not pay me to go back to work. It would not be worth it because it's like two full-time jobs. And my kids are first priority, and that's the way it is supposed to be. That's the way God intended it to be.
I appreciate so much your call. And, you know, what you're saying here is of vital importance, I think, for all of us to hear, because you're talking of a first-person testimony that you and only you can give in this case. And that particular testimony is very helpful because you're talking about making a decision based upon your own experience and your own sense of loss and not being a stay-at-home mom. You know, when we're having this discussion, I need to concede right up front that there are people who really don't have the choice. There are women who do not feel that they have such a choice. And that's really a different conversation. But I can tell you this conversation is about Michelle Obama making this choice and people saying that she should not have made this choice. And then it is the wrong choice. I find that a very bizarre point. And I really appreciate Dorothy's call when she says, you know, look, I made a different choice and then I changed to make the very choice that Michelle Obama's making. And it was the right choice. I appreciate so much your call from Aztec, New Mexico. Dorothy, it's great to hear from you. In Louisville, Kentucky, Cheryl's on the line. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, I just want to say I think Michelle Obama is making the right decision. I'm also an African-American woman with advanced degrees in the field of mathematics, went to school with a scholarship in engineering, and was expected to go on to have an illustrious career. And I made the same choice that she made after getting married and having children to stay at home and raise my two. And I have an 8-year-old and 11-year-old now. And I think she's totally doing the right thing and the best thing that she could possibly do for her kids.
Cheryl, please stay with me. Thank you so much for your call. Let me just ask you a question. I mean this question from the heart. What does it mean to you when you, given your situation, your education, when you look at Michelle Obama making these statements, does that encourage you?
It does. It encourages me because I went through some of the same things that she's going through, some of the same type of responses from people who expected me to continue my education. And I think I was looked down upon because, continue on and go into a career. And I was, I believe, looked down upon because I chose not to do that. And so it does encourage me to see her making that choice. Definitely, definitely.
I appreciate so much your call, Cheryl. And, you know, I think this also brings up the point that there are different ages and stages of life as well. And one of the things I come back to on this program is that so many young people are delaying, and I mean men and women here, are delaying parenthood. Well, because, first of all, they're delaying marriage. And they're delaying parenthood because they think they have to get to a certain point of professional achievement before they can then turn to having children and the task of parenthood. You know, I just find that such a misplaced set of priorities. And I really appreciate the sweetness of your own personal word there, Cheryl. I really appreciate that. I look to Michelle Obama, and I look to this controversy, and I see a great lesson. It's being played out before our eyes. It's almost as if we're watching a seminar on contemporary feminism. And when you look at it, you see that the accusation here that Michelle Obama's letting down the team can only come from one worldview. And that worldview is a secular worldview that says, look, or at least it's a worldview that's secular to this respect, that says, look, human worth is based upon recognized professional achievement. You take away recognized professional achievement, and human life just isn't worth much. And certainly, being a stay-at-home mom is something that shouldn't be socially sanctioned as an appropriate choice for any intelligent and educated woman. That gets right back to the argument Linda Hirschman's been making. And she's been making it. She's been in the media. And we've been talking about it on this program. You know, frankly, I'll tell you, every time that we have a soundbite from someone like Linda Hirschman on, I guarantee you there's a lot of listener interest because it's just the undistilled essence of ideological feminism. And when you hear it, you go, well, I thought it was about choice. You know, as we had from an earlier caller saying, I thought feminists were about choice. Well, some probably are. But others are about the very ideologically driven assumption that a stay-at-home choice is a wrong choice. You know, when you look at a situation like this, you realize that the media has its own agenda. The media, in the plural, they have their own agendas here. But I find it fascinating that the Washington Post ran this article by Ruth Marcus. I find it very interesting that the Times of London, from all the way across the ocean, has found this to be a very interesting debate. The British folks are looking at this. They had their own experience of something somewhat similar to this with Prime Minister Tony Blair, former Prime Minister, and his wife, Sherry Blair, she being a Queen's barrister, a very prominent legal figure in Britain, who became something of a stay-at-home mom, and indeed even had a child, a baby, during the time that they were living at 10 Downing Street. But this is a little bit different in the United States. This is a very different picture than what many had thought to expect. A lot of feminists thought that they would be seeing a first lady who was going to redefine the office in terms of professional development. And it turns out that's not what Michelle Obama has in mind. And I think the whole nation has an opportunity to learn something from that. I'll be right back. Folks, this was a very good conversation. I appreciate all the callers who got on the air, and I appreciate all the callers who called, and we just didn't have time to get on the air. Some very good arguments out there, and, you know, this is the kind of conversation that needs to continue. That's the fun thing about radio like this. We can continue the conversation another day. Let me tell you some conversations coming up. Tomorrow's Ask Anything Wednesday, and as always, you'll set the agenda by raising the issues that are on your mind. It could be anything, politics, culture, biomedical ethics. It could be something in media and entertainment. Bible, theology, doctrine, church life, family life, it's all game. Just to give us a call tomorrow at 877-893-TALK or go to the website at albertmohler.com. That's M-O-H-L-E-R. And you can send us a mail statement or you can just email us from your own email server at mail@albertmohler.com. Always glad to hear from you there. And so we'll find out tomorrow what's on your mind. On Thursday, we're going to return to this issue about kids, teenagers, and media exposure. I think it's just so important that we come back to this. It's a part of our continuing conversation, because when you get more data, and I'll tell you, the 45 hours a week is a pretty chilling new data point. When you get something like that, you need to talk about it. And we're going to be talking about it with some guests in studio and with you on Thursday. On Friday, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm going to have three of my best friends with me in the studio. It was going to be Together for the Gospel. We do a program just about every year this time in Christmas. And so C.J. Mahaney, Lig Duncan, and Mark Dever will be joining me in studio, and we're going to have a great discussion about contemporary church life, issues in evangelicalism. We're going to be talking about some things that we're working on and excited about, and we'll want you to join that conversation as well. Now, next week, and we're looking ahead here, we got all kinds of things coming, the year's about to come to an end, we're going to be taking one day to look at this issue of higher education. I'm hearing from an awful lot of parents who are saying to me, look, we're at crunch time in making decisions about early admission, making decisions about which college our child might attend. I've got young people coming up to me having the same conversation. And so we're going to have the conversation on the air, and we're going to be looking at this. And what I hope will be the result of this is that that perhaps those of you who are both students and parents can think with a little more reassurance. Because take it from one who is a seminary and college president, and please hear me on this. It isn't the life make-or-break decision you think it is. Take it from one who has reason to know. This is not such a big decision in terms of making or breaking life that you think it is. Now, it's not to say it's not important, but there are other decisions with it that I think are far more important. For instance, I'd want to know, is there a good gospel church nearby where the student can become a thriving member and participant? That's as important to me as any question that comes down to what U.S. News and World Report might think about with its rankings. Thanks for the conversation today. I'll meet you tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.